Today, I want to just read to you as a reminder some of the strategy that God has given us. And it's amazing, as Carol and I have been taking these last few weeks and months to go back and look at these things that God has spoken to us through the years. It's amazing how they're completely accurate for what we're going through right now. What I'm about to read to you comes from one of our really, really older books, Overcomers Under Orders. This is the book that covers the year 2008, I believe, 2008 through 2009. It was the fall of 2008 on into the winter and spring of 2009. And it's profound. In fact, this was the year 2008. It was election year. And I wrote this particular article, I believe, in anticipation of the election, right after it, because I knew that the election in 2008 was going to be very, very divisive. This was the first time that President Obama was running, and I knew that the church was going to be very much divided over that issue. Everything from race to his politics was going to bring great division in the church. Unfortunately, some of the things that I wrote about it has come to pass, but I want to just remind us today, and I gave it to you this time so you can read along with us. And after I finish it, then I want us to kind of, like we've been doing in the past, I want us to talk about it, discuss what God was speaking to us then and what we hear him saying to us today. All set? Okay. In the eye of the hurricane, we're living in such a critical time in the history of mankind that I found myself in deep prayer and thought about what to share with you this week. The financial markets of the world are collapsing. Crime and violence are soaring. Persecution is increasing against the church around the world. And we're about to transition into new leadership in this country. As I have prayed and asked the Lord how to navigate the days ahead of us, I have heard this one word of instruction. We must learn to live in the eye of the hurricane. The eye of the hurricane has to be one of the most phenomenal wonders of the world. God speaks a powerful revelation of life itself through this aspect of nature. The Bible says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. One translation of the Hebrew text reads, the elements declare the glory of God. This is one element, meaning the hurricane, that truly expresses something special about God. How is it possible that in the center of this horrible storm, where the wind can exceed 150 miles per hour, that the atmosphere can be peaceful, calm, and even sunny? As the storm moves along the ocean surface, it is picking up energy and growing worse, but the center remains the same. I find it interesting that the only way you can stay in the center of the storm, meaning in the peace and presence of God, is to keep moving. You can't just sit. You can't be passive and comfortable. If you try to maintain your personal space of comfort, you will find yourself caught in the outer perimeter of the storm. The eye of the storm is moving because the storm is moving. So you have to keep moving with the peace of God, the eye of the storm. Colossians 3 verses 15 through 16 tells us how to keep moving with God in the midst of the storm. It reads, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, pause just for a moment. That's why we meet like this every week. That's why the singing. We are making a serious attempt to keep moving in the peace of God. You'll find often that when a group of believers gathers together, that becomes a key moment for us to even see how God is moving, where the storm is going, so that we'll know where, okay, this is what I need to be doing to stay in peace. So I know sometimes people have wondered, and I ran into a number of people on my job who were believers who did not believe in going to church. I'm part of the body of Christ because I love the Lord and I stay home and I read my Bible and I have prayer and by myself. And I get that, totally get that. It's a necessary part of life to spend time by yourself and in the presence of the Lord. But part of remaining in the peace of God is being able to understand how to move with God and the ways of God. And so you were reading here, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Well, you can't teach and admonish one another if you're at home by yourself. So it's clearly there that part of God's way of keeping us moving in the peace of God is to find a group of believers, a body of believers where God can plant you so that you can really continue to move with him, move with his presence, understand what's going on. And that doesn't happen just by one person doing all the talking. Look at what he said. Wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. That means one more than one person is doing the talking. And you probably have noticed this the last couple of years that Carol and I have been pulling more and more out of you, saying, what do you feel about that? Or what is God speaking to you about that? Why? Because God doesn't give it all. He doesn't speak all the revelation to one person. He really doesn't. It's a body. That's how the early church moved and lived and how they were when they met together. It wasn't just one person doing all the talking. Yes, there were times when the apostles were teaching. Yeah, there were teaching times, but that wasn't all the time. It wasn't all about one person. They would get together like we've been doing for years now and sing together. Here it is. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing together. Yeah, it's a big part of it. So I wanted just to pause there and let you see that this is all a part of God's way of keeping us in the eye of the storm. I'll continue. It says, this week, let's talk about letting the peace of God rule. This phrase means we must be governed and led by the assurance of God himself. That means he will direct us to go places, meet people, and do things that we may not want to do. So we must learn the difference between the peace of God and the peace of our own hearts and minds. And there is a difference. Sometimes there's no peace in our mind about doing certain things or going certain places because of our bad memories and our negative experiences. Many people have to learn the difference between their own personal peace and the peace of God. You know, Pastor Chris brings that up because I'm sure that you guys at some time or another have heard somebody say this, another brother or sister in the Lord say this, I don't have a peace about that. Well, does that mean, is that your own personal peace or is that the peace of God? Many people don't know the difference. And they think that every time peace is disturbed, that means God don't want me to do that. No, it could just be just your fear. Yeah. That's just you don't want to do it. Or he had a bad memory, bad experience about that. Or like I was praying about earlier today, you have adapted these different philosophies and quaint little sayings that are in the world today. You know, nice guys finish last and all that kind of stuff. Well, that ain't biblical. That's just what you always believe. God only helps those who help themselves. Well, they ain't nowhere in the Bible. But we'll grab a hold of that stuff, and as soon as God allows us to be in a situation where we really need the word of God, we need to understand what he's doing, we go by our own personal peace. I go by what my mama told me, my grandmama told me, what my daddy always said, and it's not really the peace of God. Yeah. Let me continue. I don't mean to preach on all of this, but I just need to make that point. Personal peace and peace of God. Since we've been in this role of ministering in this community, We have seen scores of people who are led by their own personal peace. If they don't feel right about something, they won't do it, even when God is clearly leading them. Even after God has clearly proven that it is Him directing their steps, they still allow the past to rule their hearts. They allow previous church experiences to rule their hearts. They allow personal experiences to rule their hearts. Personal preferences, thank you. See, that's why I got you sitting here. Personal preferences to rule their hearts. They allow their expectations, to rule their hearts. They allow the way others treated them to rule their hearts. I recently heard a well-known television minister declare that they don't go places where they will be merely tolerated, but they only go to places where they are celebrated. And the crowd was yelling, yes, yes. And I'll never forget that. I won't tell y'all who. Some of y'all may have heard this person say that. I don't go where I'm tolerated. I only go where I'm celebrated. Okay. That's a very powerful but unscriptural approach to ministry. What happened to obedience to God? See, this is why Pastor Chris is talking about the peace of God today. I don't know of any of God's prophets, apostles, preachers, or leaders who were living by that standard. Not only were most of them not celebrated, but they were hated. So we don't go where we feel we will personally benefit from the experience. Let me read that again. We don't only go where we feel we will personally benefit from the experience. You and I must go wherever God says for us to go. That's what I mean about the difference between personal peace and the peace of God. Because the peace of God will tell us to go places where you ain't gonna be celebrated. Remember that job that we prayed and asked the Lord for, and then we got there and it was hell on that job. And you said, God, why did you put me here? And He said, because I was answering your prayer. And this is where I want you to be. Yeah. And the only thing that kept you there was more than just the paycheck. Because some stuff you go through, you like, ain't no money amount of money worth this. There ain't no amount of money that's worth this. And the only reason why you stay is because you don't feel God allowing you to go anywhere else. And in other words, that peace, He says, no. But Lord, I hate this place. I can't stand these people. Oh, this is abuse. God, this is abuse. This is abuse. And His presence, His peace keeps saying, stay right here. Stay here. And you're ready to quit every hour that you are there every day. And His peace keeps saying, stay right here. Because again, unlike that celebrity pastor, we don't go only where we're celebrated. We go where God says go, even if you're hated. Wow. Good lesson on the difference between our own personal peace and the peace of God, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. As the storm is moving, let me keep moving. As the storm is moving, we have to move with the eye of the storm, meaning the peace of God. What if the storm leads you to people you don't usually hang out with? That's what happened to Peter. What if the eye of the storm leads you to work for your enemies? That's what happened to Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah. What if the eye of the storm leads you to a small group of people like our church family or some other new gathering of believers in your community? And I said this, I wrote this, we'd only been going this is 2008, so we'd only been going about three and a half years when I wrote this. So I'm writing to everybody saying, what if God leads you to a little small group of people ain't nobody ever even heard of? Yeah. What if the peace of God leads you away from all that is familiar and comfortable? I was speaking prophetically to Harrisburg even back then because I knew that this was going to be a part of it, not just because of our ministry, but I knew God was sending many of us from the outside, and Harrisburg would have to be willing to step away from the familiar and the traditional and what I've always known and the comfortable, because that's where the peace of God is going to lead. Yep. In our earliest days in Harrisburg, a woman joined with us But she later disclosed that she told God she didn't want to be in a small church because there are too many problems in a small gathering of believers. Her concern was legitimate because most of us did not move with the eye of the storm at that time. So it's not when people say those kinds of things, it's not that it ain't true. It's true. There's lots of problems in a small church. There's lots of problems in any church. It's just that in a small church, ain't nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide. We can all see. You just think about it. When a couple comes to a church and if they've had a fight, now in a big church, ain't nobody going to notice. But in a little church, they come in and they just sit and it's like, they don't say nothing. And everybody can feel the tension when they walk in. Oh, boy. Awkward. Is that what the kids all say? It's awkward. Yeah. Wow. Oh, man. So her concern was legitimate because most of us did not move with the eye of the storm at that time. And we lost our ship, crew, and cargo in our first hurricane. Thankfully, God spared our lives. So you can tell Pastor Chris was being blunt and honest way back then. Yes. Even today, as the current storm moves and the peace of God moves, we are facing major decisions on personal and ministry levels again. This time, we must be faithful and obedient to move with God in the midst of the storm. 5 years ago, I left all that was familiar. Carol and I left all that was familiar, prosperous and comfortable, to move to this region. Of course, it's been 11 years now. In fact, July the 9th, we'll make it exactly 11 years ago that we moved here. Wow. See, this reads as if though I just wrote this, doesn't it? That's why we're just blown away when we read these things. 5 years ago, Carol and I left all that was familiar, prosperous, and comfortable to move to this region. Since we've been here, we've continually been required to move with the eye of the storm and remain in the peace and rest of God. God's peace led us out of full-time ministry and into the marketplace. God's peace led us from church facilities and into a home group gathering. God's peace led us onto the internet and into our current multimedia outreach. Doesn't it sound like we just wrote this? This is crazy. We recently discovered that God is directing many church planters in the same strategies around the world because of the storms that are coming forth on this nation, the world, and the church. We've often asked God why we were moving in this direction since hardly anyone knows about us and we haven't grown in over 3 years. See, that's just crazy. See, now it's just crazy. This is where it gets scary. See, now it gets scary. And he keeps assuring us that a day will come when people will look for ministries that are lifting up Jesus and not lifting up pastor personalities. They will look for people who are real as they grow weary of their traditions, religion, and politics. So we'll just keep moving with the eye of the storm in the peace of God. Right now, many find their jobs threatened, their families in crisis, and even some church communities are beginning to waver in fear. And you could tell from the first part of what I wrote in last week's midweek connection, we haven't escaped the storms either. I talked about the things that we had gone through on a personal level. We didn't intend for our communication to sound angry, fearless, or faithless. I guess like David, the psalm can start out very painful, but you end up with praise on your lips when all is said and done. I know I didn't write all of that for you guys, but I'm just reading it to you now. So I encourage you to abandon your fear. Wow. And just flow with God. He is trustworthy. So this week, the word for you and I is keep moving with the peace of God. Wow. Bless the Lord.